I think this is working. Let me see. Let me use it. Okay. Good. Thank you, Andre.
That's your sound there.
All right. Okay, well, can you hear me at the back? Good. And at the front? There you go. This is a very short talk, and I suppose it follows on very nicely with what Andrew's done there. And I have called this Why I Read the Bible as If My Life Depends on It. And over the summer months, the theme, I believe, of the various contributions is looking at basics in the Christian life. Back to basics, you might say. Not because they're simple, but because they're important and they're to do with having a right foundation. And what a good place to start by talking about the Bible. And that's what we're going to do. Now, I'm going to have just for a couple of minutes a bit of interaction. And I just don't want you to think too much about these questions, but just shout out. First thing comes into your head. Don't care what age you are. Don't worry if you're right or wrong, but just to get us thinking. Off the top of your head, why read the Bible? Tells you what to do. It's interesting. It encourages to hear God's voice, to learn about God, truth. Sorry? You did say something already. Okay. Direction for your life. Did anybody say it was God's word explicitly? Yeah. You did?
Somebody else did,
right? Okay. Why read the Bible? We've answered that one. Here's another question. Why do we not read the Bible? Why do people not read the Bible?
No idea.
No idea. Hard to understand. They don't think it's the truth. They don't believe it.
They don't have the call.
They don't have the call. Okay. Lazy.
They don't have one.
There's no pictures in it. All right. Okay. Next question. How many books are in the Bible? Correct. How many testaments in the Bible?
Two.
What's the very last word in the Bible?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What book is the highest sold book in the world today? The Bible. Now here's an interesting one. Shoplifting of books. Which book is most shoplifted in the world?
The Bible.
The Bible. Isn't that interesting? What's the shortest verse in the Bible?
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Bonus point, do you know what verse that is? John 11:35, there's a clue. What's the longest book in the Bible? Book of Psalms. Final question, what's the shortest book in the Bible? It's not Jude. Philemon, it's not Philemon. It's not the third epistle of John. It's the second epistle of John. There you go. So that's just to break the ice a little bit. Now, if you can give me about 10 minutes of your attention, I want to tell you as clearly and as simply and as memorable as possible why I read the Bible as if my life depends on it. Let me read something from the Bible first. This is from 2 Timothy 3:15-16. And it's Paul talking to Timothy. He says like this, and how from childhood, underline the word childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Why I read the Bible and encourage people to read the Bible as if your life depends on it is first and foremost, it's breathed out of the mouth of God. It's the very outbreathing words of the living God. If I want to reveal myself to you, if I want to reveal the type of person I am, I have to communicate. God is a communicating God. He's given us two books to reveal himself. The first book is creation. When you look at what God has made, it speaks about the nature and the character and the reality of God. When you look at big things, it tells you God is big. When you look at small things, it shows God's intricate detail. When you look at powerful things, it shows you God is powerful. When you even look at yourself on the inside, there's something inside us realizes we've got a conscience, we've got an awareness that there must be something more to life than just what we touch and feel. God has made himself known through creation. But the second way he's made himself known is through the scriptures, which ultimately the biggest theme in scripture is his very own person, Jesus Christ. And so think like this. If you were to, if you want, you can do this. Breathe out. That breath that you breathed out was on the inside of you. The scriptures are the outbreathing of God. So there's a real connection between the Bible and God himself. And if you want to honor God, then we should honor his word. If we want to take God seriously, we need to take his word seriously. And when I read the Bible as if my life depends on it, I read these words as the very words outbreathed by God himself. And that's what we believe as Christians, that the Bible is inspired fully from Genesis to Revelation by the Holy Spirit. And in this book, you have the most amazing promises. You have the most amazing commands. You have the most amazing blessings. And it's designed to reveal Christ and to make us wise unto salvation. Nobody in their right mind would treat this lightly if what I've just said is true. And I read the Bible every single day as if it's the very words of God, because it is. As if it's the outbreathing of God, because it is. And I believe that when it has promises and commands and blessings, that they are for me to lay hold of personally. We should read the Bible as if it's the very audible voice of God. I remember many years ago, I was in South Africa and I got a chance to visit a man called Paul Dell. Some of you may remember this guy. He worked among the townships at the time of apartheid, and it was very dangerous, some of the places he went to. And one day he was driving through this township and he was stopped by some militia who were heavily armed. And if you were in that situation, I was in that situation, probably you'd have panicked a little bit. But Paul Dell received a word of wisdom, and he said to these armed militia, "Guys, if you let me go, I have the most powerful weapons in the boot of my car, and you can have them." And they said, "Really? Let's see." And he opened the boot of his car, and inside the boot of his car were all these Bibles. And he said, "This is the most powerful weapon in the universe. It's got power, it's got life, it's the very outbreathing of the Word of God, and it can change lives, and it's changed my life." And I just thought, let's not treat this lightly, and let's not think that this is something of no consequence. So the reason I read the Bible, first and foremost, is it's the very outbreathing words of the living God. The second reason I read it as if my life depends on it is because it's absolutely reliable and trustworthy. And I had some scriptures. I don't have time to maybe read this scripture. But in 2 Peter, Peter is talking about, and he's trying to encourage the believers. And he's saying, you know, I saw Jesus on earth. I saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's something even more reliable than that experience that I had, and that's the Scriptures. You can build your life on the right foundation. Got it in there. The building blocks are there. It's absolutely reliable. And I'll tell you a brief story to illustrate the reliability of Scripture above all other things. Many, many years ago, a friend of mine and myself, we evangelized this young man. And praise God, he actually became a Christian. He came to Christ. And he went to a meeting. It was actually run by ourselves. And at that meeting, there was an American visiting speaker who was kind of one of these, and he really modeled something in those days for us. He was a prophetic kind of guy, and he would sit at the piano and start to sing, and then he would look at someone, and he would start to prophesy to them, and he would speak to them about things that had happened in their lives. And there were many very accurate words and some not so accurate. And this guy got a word from this guy, and it was recorded, just like we recorded Paul Crawford today. And he would play this prophecy over and over and over again. And he shared it with me one day, and some of it made a lot of sense, and some of it made no sense whatsoever. And there was a little bit that made even less than no sense. And I suggested to him it may have been wrong. And he looked at me with terror in his eyes. And he said, if this prophecy's not from God, my life's going to fall apart. And I was shocked and saddened that someone would build their life on something and give it a greater preeminence than the Scriptures. I do believe God speaks through dreams, through visions. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks through one another. And the Bible talks about that and encourages that. But the most reliable way that God reveals himself is through the Scriptures and through the Bible. And there is a spiritual battle for that, folks. And we need to be careful. This is a very reliable book. And the third and last reason I read the Bible as if my life depends on it, I encourage you to do the same thing. Is it's alive. The Holy Spirit can make this a life-giving word to us personally. It says in Hebrews that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it can go to the depth of your heart. Jesus himself said in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. How many of us need bread? How many of us need water? How many of us need oxygen? Jesus said that man will not live by any of those things alone, by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's a life-giving word. And it's interesting that the Bible is, the Scriptures are described sometimes as milk, sometimes as bread, and sometimes even as meat or solid food. And in the same way, we need physical bread, physical milk. Just ask any baby. We would, if we didn't give our babies milk, that would be negligent. I want to say something. We need spiritual milk even more than a newborn baby needs milk. And God has given it to us in the Scriptures. And I'm hungry for this book. I'm thirsty for this book. I can't get enough of this book. I read this book as if my life depends on it, because it does. And I will not take the Scriptures lightly. And sometimes it's milk to me, sometimes it's bread to me, and sometimes it's solid meat to me. I can't get enough of it. And if you were to ask me, and maybe you're not going to ask me this question, but let's pretend you're going to ask me this question. Stephen, what would be the single biggest key to your spiritual growth development? If you're anywhere, and maybe I'm not anywhere, but if you're anywhere in God, what is the single biggest, most significant thing in your life? I would answer it like this. I've had a lot of help through other things. People have helped me.
Many sermons have helped me. Prophecies have helped me. I've had spiritual experiences, answered prayer. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I've listened to incredible teachers from conferences. But none of those things compare with the single biggest key for my spiritual growth and personal development. And it's this: every day I'll read the scriptures as if my life depends on it, listening for the speaking of God for that day. And it's bread to me, it's water to me, it's milk to me, it's solid food to me. And that is the single biggest key for my spiritual development. And that's why I would say to all of us, read the Bible. Is that too simple? Read the Bible. I appeal to us as a church, and with this I finish, have a high view of Scripture, individually, corporately. Those who aspire to preach and teach and prophesy have a very high view of Scripture. And secondly, I appeal, if there's anyone in this room, and practically speaking, it's hard for you to read the Bible, if you ask me to help you with that, I'll either help you or get someone to help you. It is that important. Why do you read the Bible, Stephen? I think I've answered it.